Swing for the fences with the Fence Authority. They've been providing the Delaware Valley with fences for almost 3 decades. With 4 stores throughout the region and one of the largest inventories of wood, vinyl, and aluminum fencing, the Fence Authority makes your next fence as easy as 1, 2, 3. Do it yourself or get it installed with the best workmanship warranties in the country. So swing for the fences at the Fence Authority. Your new fence is waiting at fenceauthority.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Friday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. And there's some big news out of Colorado as the University of Colorado has given Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, the big old bag. 5 years, $54 million, starting at $10 million this year, escalating up to $12 million up in 2029.
He's staying, man, and he's tried to tell people, like, once Shiloh, Shador, and Travis leave, he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And he was at Colorado getting paid, $5.5 million a year, 5.7, I think it was, under his initial deal. At that point, it was like, all right, now that his guys are gone, because he could do that on the cheap, put resources elsewhere that Colorado desperately needed. He's there for a few years. Bam. Now it's time to kind of ramp it up and take off, right? He gets his security because, look, that Colorado team had its flaws with two guys that are going to be drafted within, in all likelihood, the top 5 picks mm-hmm. of the draft. Probably the top 4 picks in the draft. Some have it the top 3.
Sure.
Right? With Travis and Shador. They still weren't enough.
No.
To get it done.
They were 9-4. Good. Not
good.
Great.
He has done a better job of recruiting and actively trying to recruit.
On that point.
Does he now have to leave his home and go and do high school visits?
Mm-hmm. Colorado's currently ranked 4th heading into next year in the Big 12 in recruiting, 37th nationally. Which, for Colorado, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Now, you're not really getting it done. You were sandwiched in between Iowa and Baylor, as well as Kansas State, Rutgers, Arkansas, SMU, Duke. That rounds out your top 30.
Look, they had some of the best players in the country. Their scheme against really good teams still gets exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And recruiting the trenches is going to be paramount for them to have any sort of success. And I know they bring in, you know, Warren Sapp, they bring in Marshall Faulk to be coaches. Like, they need to start recruiting and developing offensive and defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where you win, and that's where you win big games, that's where you beat good teams. And they have had an inability to do that. What he has done at Colorado, though, cannot be overlooked, because that program was in the worst shape of anybody in all of college football, and he has turned it around very quickly. The transfer portal has been his baby and his woogie, but we are seeing as many guys that come in every year, they are leaving the very next mm-hmm. year. And that is an issue. You do have to, in this world of the transfer portal, you have to be able to recruit high school kids and high school talent. You cannot just bring in hired guns every single year and say, we're going to make this work on a year-to-year basis. They having an NFL model where you bring in free agents every year,
mm-hmm.
Guess what? The team that brings in the most free agents every year is not the winningest team. You draft, develop, and retain in the NFL. That's the NFL model. And in college football, it is recruit, bring them in, develop, and retain them. And they have shown an inability to do that. And that's going to be the big step. But he's got now security long-term to be in Colorado, and he's getting a hell of a lot of money to do it. They need to start winning games because the big names aren't going to be there in Shadur and Travis Hunter anymore.
And to your point on the transfer portal, they have the 27th ranked transfer portal class with 17 commits. That's on the higher end of total commits. If you're talking about some of the big teams in the country as far as total commits in the transfer portal, Oregon at 10.
17 is not an egregious
amount. It's not an egregious amount. No, I'm saying it's one of the higher numbers, but then you look like a Mississippi State. They have 24. Arkansas, 22. I'm just kind of scrolling through here and just looking at some of the bigger numbers. Ole Miss, 22. I mean, there's plenty of teams in the 20s. Kansas, 22. UCF, 28. West Virginia, 31. Good God. But you talk about they're near top 25 in the recruiting are the transfer portal rankings,
yep.
And near top 30 in overall recruiting. If I had told you that 3 years ago about Colorado, you would have laughed me out of the room.
Yeah, but it's something that should be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Colorado is not a program that should be impossible to recruit from.
No, it's a beautiful campus. Good God.
Campus is beautiful. It's an easy hub to get in and out mm-hmm. of. Going to Denver is not that far. You can get to anywhere in the country relatively easy. It has a history and a tradition, great uniforms.
Yes.
A rabid fan base when they give you mm-hmm. something to cheer for. No, Colorado.
Fair amount of money.
Yeah, you can get it done, but you've got to have more consistency. And you're seeing that a little bit. You mentioned, 17 portal commits?
Mm-hmm.
They had 95 in 2023 and 2024 combined. 52 and then 43. Going down to 17, it is showing that you can't just do it through the portal, which was his initial kind of attack at how he was going to recruit.
And if you look at at the transfer portal, it's the front seven and trenches. Linebacker, D-line, O-line, O-line, linebacker, O-line, wide receiver, D-line. Like it's littered with linemen.
Every great program, you recruit and develop linemen, and then you plug in your holes that you will have
mm-hmm.
on a year-to-year in your O-line, right? Like, that's been the big thing with Oregon, right? They go out, and they got two big tackles this past year, okay? They went in a couple years ago. They go, and they get a Johnny Cornelius, right? It is plugging the hole, not building your offensive line, because one guy is easy. Two guys, a little bit more difficult, but you can plug in two new guys on your O-line. When you're having to put three, four, hell, like he did last year, five new guys on your O-line, continuity and chemistry is paramount up front.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that has been a big struggle with Colorado in his first couple of years there. I've always said it. I like Deion being a disruptor mm-hmm. to the status quo and how things have been done in college football. He needs to become more of Lane Kiffin than he wants to admit, though. Because what Lane Kiffin does, he's the portal king.
Yes.
And he brings in 20-plus guys every year out of the
22
portal.
22 was the number right now.
And that is not unfamiliar territory for Ole Miss. But he also recruits in the top 20.
Yes.
Of the high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
That is where you have to be, where if you can find that mix and be like, hey, look, we took a flyer on a kid, didn't work, he hit the portal, we're going to go replace him. But if you're going to be the portal king, you've got to make sure that you're recruiting high school kids, because those are the ones that truly do build your program.
And the mark that obviously that Deion is trying to make is at the quarterback spot. It was obviously with the son Shador.
Yep.
And now his prize recruit in this class is Julian Lewis, who he got to decommit from USC and go to Colorado. He's a top 10 quarterback. Depending on what service you look at, he's somewhere between 8 and 10.
Look, this is a good deal for Colorado because Deion has put butts in the seats. Mm-hmm. And he has made their fan base give a reason to care about football again.
And he's motivated donors and all that stuff.
9-4 is like for the Deion haters, 9-4 is a really damn good season. Like,
and the Heisman Trophy winner.
It is a season that should be a building block and a launch point for you. But in college football, they always say, you know, year three is where things really take off. The portal has really changed that, right? Because it used to be year three is finally when your recruits start getting a hold and you start seeing them play and develop a little bit more. The portal has obviously changed that, and you can turn it around a lot quicker. The turnaround that Deion had is absolutely insane for how bad they were before he got there. They were awful. Like, Carl Durrell, man, that was the saddest man at Pac-12 Media Days when we had him.
He knew what was coming.
And it wasn't good.
No.
It wasn't good. They had no talent. They had no support. He has drummed up the sport. This is a good, like, paying your coach, it's a great deal for the university. And football being the front porch to your university, mm-hmm. Colorado has seen that. Enrollment has, applications have gone up 50%.
Yep.
Students of color applying to the university has gone up, I think, almost 30% mm-hmm. since he's gotten there. Like, that is a big deal for a university. And
visibility.
Deion has made their football program the front porch of their college, mm-hmm. and it's they're reaping the rewards from it. And the numbers are out there. If you have a good football team, your application numbers go through the roof.
It's the same thing with when you see the Cinderellas and March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge
Florida
for
Gulf
them.
Coast.
Yeah, it's what? Huge for them. On the monetary stand front and the enrollment.
Yep.
So
it's a good deal for Deion. It's a good deal for Colorado. Now, the big one for him though, he has the security.
Now he's
got a really mm-hmm. tough job ahead of him because
yep.
he does not have a cheat code playing on both sides of the ball.
No. Well, from one coach getting paid to another coach getting fired, what the hell is going on in Memphis?
Yikes.
We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This morning, I'm getting ready to come in and get the old Sham Sharania notification at 9:30 in the morning. And I'm like, nah, it's probably an injury. Something going on. Bloop. Taylor Jenkins has been fired as head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies.
The winningest coach in franchise history.
Now, there have been rumblings this was probably going to happen in the offseason for a number of reasons. I don't think Taylor Jenkins is necessarily to blame. Ja Morant and his availability or lack of availability and catering to him and all the nightmare stuff that goes on behind the scenes. But it wasn't a full-on, like, Rick Carlisle clashing with Luka Doncic and not necessarily irreconcilable, but definitely had to have somebody, Jamal Mosley had to step in and kind of be the intermediary there. Mm-hmm. But it just, you knew it wasn't working. So it was a bit of a surprise as the Memphis Grizzlies are still capable of getting the 2 seed in the Western Conference, removing their coach with 3 weeks to go in the season.
They have been dreadful, though, post-All-Star break. They're 8-11 post-All-Star break. Mm-hmm.
And their record against teams above 500 is egregious.
11-20.
Yeah.
They have been feasting on the season, mm-hmm. that is.
Yes.
The entire season is 11-20. So they've been feasting on bad teams and have not been good post-All-Star break. Yet, they still have a chance to be the 2 seed. 6 years in Memphis, mm-hmm. there was so much promise, and then Ja.
Mm-hmm.
The injuries to Ja, the suspensions to Ja. Last year just went boom,
and then
everything
this year,
tanked out.
You look at his litany of injuries, shoulder, ankle, hamstring, knee, thigh. He's got the Iverson curse because he's tiny, so he's always going to be beat up. But then there's the other stuff that you deal with. There's the stuff that everybody knows about publicly, but privately there's more.
Last year, though, it was even more than just Ja. Everyone got
hurt. I mean, that whole team. I mean, they got the New Orleans.
Yeah.
They got this year.
They just got this decimated. Curse of injuries around them. But as you look at it now, in all likelihood, if they turn it around, the 3 seed is in play. The 2 is 9 games to play. You have to make up 3.5.
Yeah.
That's hard. And they have, I think, their remaining schedule is nasty.
Yeah.
Where they
not
have,
as bad as the Suns, but it ain't great.
They have a stretch where you just go, all right, good luck with this one. They've got a stretch that includes their next 3, Lakers, Boston, Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Their final 3, when everybody's going to be jockeying for position in the playoffs, are against teams that will all be jockeying for position in the playoffs and play in. Minnesota, Denver, mm-hmm. on the road, Denver,
yeah.
who they could be vying for that 3 seed with, and then the Dallas Mavericks, which may need a win mm-hmm. to get into that play-in.
And the Timberwolves are trying to avoid the play-in.
Yeah, at the very beginning of it.
And you're looking at, this is the time of the season where teams are looking at seeding and matchups, and you just don't really know necessarily what's going to go, but there are teams that are kind of fighting for their lives.
Six,
you know what they want.
In 6 of your last 9 mm-hmm. are against teams that are all going for it.
So the Jenkins firing, number one, is a surprise overall. Number two, well, not yesterday overall, the timing of it was wild. Then we get further news that it wasn't just Taylor Jenkins. Taylor Jenkins' assistants, not all of them, some of them were also let go. Noah LaRoche and Patrick St. Andrews were also let go. Noah LaRoche, working alongside now interim head coach Tuomas Iisalo, who is from Finland. Justin Hebert. I can't remember what place he's writing at, but he wrote an article about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, about the new kind of egalitarian system that they're running offensively. And a lot of the principles are based on this assistant coach's principles that he brought over from Finland and playing in Europe. He's a seriously fast riser. He is a coach that I have heard on short lists for basically every team that is looking at a potential head coach this offseason. Like, I've heard him come up with, but people have asked me what I've thought of him if Portland moved on from Chauncey Billups. I think he would have been on a short list. He's a very, very, very bright mind. But Noah LaRoche took his system. He was more responsible for implementing it and went away from the pick and rolls, which is the Ja Morant bread and butter. And, you know, part of the reason you draft Zach Edey is that John Morant can make life easy for Zach Edey at the rim. Zach Edey, 7'4", big dude, rim finisher. Without having that kind of a setup, it's kind of neutered both those guys. But I think part of the reason LaRoche and Jenkins went to this system was because of the lack of ability or lack of availability with John Morant. And I think that led to some more tension. I actually asked Chauncey Billups about this when they played the Grizzlies, 10 days ago now? 2 weeks ago, something like that? And I go, hey, you know, this egalitarian system where everybody gets to eat, it's equal opportunity. How do you see that in the NBA? And Chauncey actually put his foot down pretty firmly of John Morant's superpower is the pick and roll, and they've taken that away from him. Now, Ja wasn't obviously playing that night because I'm kind of interested to see how that works out, which kind of gives you the eyebrow raise of in the coaching circles, they knew kind of what was going on behind the scenes, and they all talk. It's a fraternity of coaches and, you know, things that are...
It's what they do.
It's what they do. And I thought, number one, I thought it was interesting that Chauncey very, like, kind of staunchly pushed back of, like, they're not optimizing what they can do, but also acknowledging that they're kind of protecting themselves and insulating themselves against John Morant.
Right.
Because of his lack of availability. This head coach, the interim head coach, Isolo, his system is actually more predicated on pick and roll with the equal opportunity egalitarian stuff. This very much sounds like Zach Kleiman, the general manager, and probably the power brokers, i.e. John Morant, within the team.
Yeah.
We're pushing for this and pushing hard for this to get John more involved. Because what makes the Grizzlies, like, going back to John Morant as a prospect, yes, he is super talented and otherworldly as an athlete and finishing at the rim. What people forget is John Morant was a 20-10, emphasis on the 10, assists a game in college at Murray State. He made that team viable because John Morant is an obscene creator.
Yeah.
Not just a scorer. He is an unbelievably gifted passer.
Yeah, he is. He's really good.
And that has been neutered. And this team right now does not have an identity on either side of the ball. And I think that is where the problems really lie beyond even the egos and the power struggle. When I say Memphis Grizzlies, what do you think? You think John Morant.
Ja, baby.
And if he's not the straw that stirs the drink, they don't have the other. Look, I love Desmond Bain. Love Desmond Bain. He is not a premier creator.
Mm-mm.
Jaren Jackson Jr., while he's made significant leaps as a player on both sides of the ball, as a defensive player of the year, reigning defensive player of the year, his offensive game has grown drastically. It's not made them better in a sense of, like, reflecting and wins and right. outcomes, right? I'm very interested to see how this goes over the next 3 weeks. Does this turn into the coach bump? Do you see some real holistic changes in their offense? Do they get kind of their defensive-minded attitude? Because remember,
it all hinges on Ja being healthy, though. Mm-hmm. And he's got a hamstring injury, and that is going to linger. And if he's not healthy, then this is a move that makes no sense. No sense whatsoever.
I've had some people ask, you know, would you be interested in Ja Morant for the Blazers or LaMelo Ball, who just got shut down for another set of work on his ankles? It turns out those ball kids don't have great ankles.
Big ball of brain.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see that lawsuit somewhere down the road.
Against their dad?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's been some stuff about those shoes leading to Lonzo's issues.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, they're not great made shoes. But I would not want to be in the LaMelo Ball or Ja Morant business.
No.
For a multitude of reasons, different reasons for both guys. I would not want to be in the business. And there's been talks for probably the past 4 or 5 months. Are the Memphis Grizzlies interested in getting out of the Ja Morant business?
It'd be interesting to see if they go back to, was it Grindhouse?
The Grit and Grind?
Grit and Grind. Yeah. Let's go, baby.
But I mean,
that was fun. That was a fun era.
The Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Mark Gasol, Grizzlies. Oh, man. Nope. If they would have added Mike Conley. If they would have had a wing on that team, goodness gracious.
They have updated at BetOnline in sportsbetting.ag the next head coach fired in the NBA.
Mm.
Do you know who that is? Odds on favorite, 2-1.
Ooh. Bud.
No.
Oh.
Bud is 7th. It is Nick Nurse of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I mean, him and Embiid have been fighting all season. That's not a surprise.
next, who do you think it is?
It's not Washington. It's not Charlotte. They figured it out with Mosley. God, who?
Darko up in Toronto. Darko Rajkovic?
Yeah, that's a bit surprising.
Then you've got Willie Green down in New Orleans at 4-1.
That one's been rumored for a bit.
Will Hardy, 5-1. That's what they asked him to do this. He's pissed.
Well, did you
losing.
See him go off the other night?
Yeah.
Holy.
And then you have Brian Keefe in Washington, Charles Lee in Charlotte, mm-hmm. then Mike Budenholzer.
Got
all right, in Phoenix. Then it's Jordy Fernandez in Brooklyn.
Not a chance in hell.
And then Chauncey Billups, 12-1, ninth best odds to be the next coach fired in the NBA is Chauncey Billups.
He's making it through the season.
Well, and then he doesn't have a contract, so.
Yeah. Well, he's got the option. The option, but yeah. But, yeah.
That and that, to me, that's why Chauncey is ninth on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Blazers have made it abundantly clear they're going to see the season through.
Yeah.
And the next head coach fired is a guy that still has years on his contract and is not living up to them.
Yeah.
Chauncey's got an option where they can just, it's not even a fire.
The only reason Jordy Fernandez would be fired by the Nets is because he's winning too many games.
Maybe.
Like, that's the only, like, if Jordy Maybe. Fernandez got fired, there would be teams lining up for him.
Yeah.
Lining up for him.
Well, he was on the Blazers shortlist the first time mm-hmm. around.
Is Spo on there anywhere?
Yeah. Eric Spoelstra is on this list. He was at, I think, like 250-1.
That's surprising.
Oh, really?
There's been some stuff going on down there.
I don't think
they do it, but the fact that it's even like broachable at this point,
yeah,
is surprising.
100-1.
Hmm.
He is there with Jamal Mosley, J.J. Redick, J.B. Bickerstaff, Tom Thibodeau. At 100-1. 250-1 is Kenny Atkinson and Mark Diagonal in Oklahoma City.
The fact that there's even odds for
they're not good
for
ones.
Those coaches.
250-1 is not great odds.
Yeah, but, I mean, I wouldn't even put odds on them.
Yeah, well, they're there. You never know.
I guess people could throw their money away. Go for it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you know something about a scandal that's coming up.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair.
Maybe he's walking around with a hypodermic needle.
Yeah.
You know, poking people.
Pooping in desks.
Yeah, like the police chief of that New Jersey town that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Evil shenanigans.
No, that is all criminal, and that guy is a monster that should be put in the jail that he currently oversees. Holy smokes.
Yeah, you're not wrong. All right, coming up next, let's pivot back to college basketball.
Right.
We have some very good games, some very stylistic matchups, and we'll dive into those next. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center update. Love this time of year. It's my second favorite time of the year. October reigns supreme.
Ooh,
but wow. Late March, baby, ramping up for the playoffs in the NBA.
In UFL.
Oh, yeah. Oops. But college basketball is in the deepest of deep swings, and you get back-to-back nights of the Sweet 16 leading into the Elite Eight action. And night two of the Sweet 16 doesn't have the pomp and circumstance of the best player in college basketball, number one overall pick, Cooper Flagg. But boy, do you get some. This is for the sickos.
And
this is college basketball through and through.
This is what the committee set up. When they put the brackets out and they were going what days every team was going to play on, they knew that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because on a Friday night is not the night that you want to have your premier sports viewing. Thursday night,
it works,
right? And Thursday night, they put big-name matchups. Mm-hmm. They had big-name players that they thought were going to be there. And it delivered on night one. And you're probably going to peel off some folks that are going to watch because they were like, damn, that night one was great. This isn't going to be it. This is your basketball sicko bonanza here. Exciting teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Auburn is exciting as hell to watch.
Yeah.
Tennessee can be,
mm-hmm.
depending on which Tennessee team shows up. But you're going to have Tom Izzo and Michigan State trying to grind Ole Miss into a pulp. You're going to have Purdue in Matt Painter's squad just rolling the ball up and down the floor against Houston and Kelvin Sampson, which I feel like this is going to be Houston flexing and running away. We could have, by the end of tonight, there could be five SEC teams in the Elite Eight And then you could have Houston. This is where the reprogramming comes in. Houston and Texas Tech out of the Big 12 being in the Elite Eight. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, five. And then, oh, Duke, ACC, one ACC team. Five SECs, two Big 12s, and one ACC team. That is crazy. And that's why the SEC got 14 teams in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They still don't think they should have gotten 14 teams in.
13 should have been the number.
Maybe. But your Mississippi States and Missouri's getting run. Okay. Good seeing you there. I could have been okay with 12. But that's a lot. Their top end, though, is this is what I've been banging the drum on the entire time, is their top end of their conference is incredible, and they have shown exactly why. Now we could have a little bit more balance if, you know, Michigan State, you know, handles their business against mm-hmm. Ole Miss. If you do get an upset somewhere of Michigan over Auburn, don't mm-hmm. think that happens, or Purdue knocking off Houston, also don't think that happens, and you could see the two power conferences be well represented. But the reality is, brace yourself for four SEC teams in the Elite Eight?
Probably. And when you're looking at the matchups and
heck, they already got Bama in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got two already.
And you're guaranteed one.
Guaranteed one in the Tennessee-Kentucky matchup.
So you're getting at least three.
And then if Auburn handles their business, I think four, mm-hmm. half of the Elite Eight, yeah, that sounds right.
Means the SEC was that good this year.
They were that good.
What's interesting about tonight, again, it doesn't have the marquee viewing of the, obviously not just Cooper Flagg, but Conn Knipple, Kamon Mollich, who are all lottery picks, obviously Flagg at number one.
Mm-hmm.
You do have three first-round guys. You have one potential lottery guy in Jace Richardson at Michigan State. You have, depending on how you like Danny Wolfe, he's an interesting guy as far as when you're talking about the draft.
Danny Wolfe sounds like the coach at Northern Iowa who ends up getting a Big Ten job mm-hmm. after a good NCAA run.
Yeah, 100%. For those who don't know who Danny Wolfe is, he's a 7-footer who's got some guard skills. He also has one of the highest turnover rates in all of basketball.
He'd be the tallest coach in basketball.
Yeah. He's no Kevin Fitznagle.
No, he's not.
But Wolfe is a lot of fun. He's a very flamboyant, creative big man. Michigan runs 4-5 pick and rolls, but their 5-man is the ball handler.
No.
You're going to see some weird stuff from Michigan. But they're going up against Auburn, who Auburn's probably one of, if you're not picking Florida or Duke, Auburn's probably the team that you pick just because of, and we've kind of beat this to death, offense matters more in college basketball. Duke is number one in efficiency, and they clear them very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn is number two. Offense matters. Offense efficiency, adjusted efficiency, according to Bart Torvik. Auburn is number two, and they have the number 11 ranked defense now.
Okay. Here's a question for
mm-hmm.
you. Say Michigan does knock them off,
mm-hmm.
and then they get the winner of Michigan State, Ole Miss.
Michigan, right? Michigan State would just be mwah.
That would be great.
It's not Duke, North Carolina in an Elite Eight or a Final Four, but Elite Eight Michigan, Michigan State would be tremendous stuff.
What would we think of Dusty May if he takes Florida Atlantic to a Final Four and then year one at Michigan takes Michigan to the Elite, Final Four?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Elite Eight would be fantastic.
Yeah, but if he goes back-to-back
Yeah, they didn't go. They weren't in the Final Four last year.
Oh, sorry, it was 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. But even in a three-year span, going to the Elite Eight twice, once taking Florida Atlantic to the Final Four.
That's probably a short, like, of coaches who have done that in that short of a span is probably one or two.
But to do it at not just a mid-major, a non-existent basketball school, and then to take over Michigan and be like, all right, Juwan Howard, Fab Five was great. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take this program to an Elite Eight or Final Four.
It would show you that the coaching hirings around college basketball and the top 20 programs has been tremendous over the last 2 or 3 years.
Do you know what Dusty May's overall coaching record is in his career?
I would guess that he's got a winning percentage around 64-65%.
He is at 66%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And he's only been a head coach for four, six, seven seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's basically won every year.
He is 231 in 153, or excuse me, 153 and 78 in 231 games.
Yeah.
And he has never had a losing season.
No, he's a damn good coach.
Jeez.
He's a damn good coach.
Wow. First year at Florida Atlantic, went 17 and 16, and that was his worst year there. His last 3 years, he's gone 35 and 4, 25 and 9, 27 and 9.
Pretty darn good.
Whoa.
Pretty darn good.
He took over a Florida Atlantic team that the year before went 12 and 19. Dude, Dusty May is a hell of a coach. He may be going up the power rankings of famous people named Dusty.
Oh, there you go.
Well, right now it's like Dusty Hall.
Dusty Baker.
Dusty Baker. Mm. Dusty Springfield. Mm. This is a diverse group.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes. Mm. You're damn right. Wrestling icon. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot. Mm. There's not a lot. And so I'm pro Dusty May becoming...
Yeah. You're top 25 for sure.
Mm. I don't even know about that. Mm. There's Dusty Bottoms of the Three Amigos.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're higher up the list of Dusty's than I am up the list of Danny's.
That's for
damn sure.
There's a lot more of them. A
lot of Danny's.
A lot of Danny's out there. But I'm pro Dusty May.
Good coach.
Do it for the name.
All right. Let's do what we did yesterday. Worked out so well for us yesterday. Let's do it again. Wrap up today's show. What's the most chaotic game on the board that you're most interested in watching? We'll use that to wrap up today's show here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Four games on the Sweet 16 docket as we wrap up the round of 16, Dusty. Ole Miss, Michigan State, Kentucky, Tennessee, Michigan, Auburn, Purdue, Houston. The biggest spread right now is Auburn 8.5 and Houston 8.5. So they're not looking for a whole lot of volatility, which means there's quite a bit of chaos that could happen tonight.
If you want to watch some paint dry, tune into that Houston-Purdue game because they're favored by 8.5 with an over-under of 133.5.
Yeah. No, you shoot. No, you shoot. No, you shoot.
No, it's just going to be Houston shooting and Purdue looking slow. I think I honestly tonight is not nearly as great.
No.
It's Tennessee-Kentucky just because of the familiarity with each other.
And hatred.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I don't know how to feel about this, but there's a lot of people that are upset at, you know, having games like these. They're like, it's so far for the fans. It's not that far from Indianapolis to Knoxville or Lexington.
No.
So I think you're going to have a lot of fans there, too,
yeah,
both of these teams. And that, the environment,
it's not San Francisco.
And last night you saw that. We were talking about that Texas Tech-Arkansas game and, like, will Texas Tech travel? Dude, you could hear, when they went on that run, it was electric.
Loud.
That was fun to see. And I'm just pro good environments for these. And a lot of times we have just stale, dumb. Their courts, they've fancied them up a little.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel.
Come
about
on, bring back just the whatever arena they're in. Make it look like the hometown a little bit, right? Give me some cool logo. And here's the thing, NCAA, you use the same logo for everything. If they were to have like, you're going to make new courts anyways for all these, because remember how bad it was when they just slap a big NCAA sticker
on the
court,
home court
and they would just slide everywhere and there was injuries left and right? You're going to make a new court. Put a little flair for the local city in there.
You know where you're going to be.
Yeah, let me...
And don't Big 12 this. I don't need the Louis Vuitton logo.
That was so bad.
It was horrendous.
And their commissioner, Brett Yormark, saying, everybody's talking about it.
All publicity is not good publicity.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. But that's the one for me. Kentucky, Tennessee, I do believe there could be a little bit of flair in the Auburn-Michigan matchup.
Yeah.
But I'm highly doubting it.
Look, Kentucky-Tennessee, rivalry game, styles make fights, and oh my God, the color matchup.
Let's go. Let's go, baby.
Tennessee burnt orange, Kentucky blue.
That's not burnt.
Or not burnt orange. What's the actual color?
It's volunteer orange.
Is that what? I could have swore they had a name for it.
Mm-mm. No. They'll get very mad at you if you say it's burnt, though.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's Auburn.
That's Texas. Texas.
I thought Auburn was burnt, too.
No.
Being colors. Not great.
No.
But no, the color scheme matchup. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That is a good one. It pops. It'll be good. I'm looking, what color is Tennessee orange? All I'm getting is Pantones here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Vol Orange.
Vol Orange, there you go.
Vol Orange. All right, it's going to be a fun one, though. I'm excited. I'm excited for the Elite Eight tomorrow. I think we got great matchups.
Yes.
Over the weekend. We have more baseball stuff. Look, we didn't talk any baseball today. Baseball rocked.
Oh, God, it was great yesterday.
They had 14 games because the Rays had to move into the Yankees minor league stadium, so they didn't play yesterday. Of the 14 games, 12 were come-from-behind victories.
And dingers.
Dingers all over the place, including Randy Arozarena. Mm. That was an epic bat flip and a way to go out for the Mariners. So, great day of baseball yesterday. Baseball's back.
Keep it rolling.
Football's right around the corner. All right. That'll do it for us this week. We will be back Monday.
Don't tell
from noon
to
3. Up next, you got 4 hours of power. From there, mouse to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.